And they have a meat. So very proud of myself. Okay. This is the Netherlands Fire Protection District Board of Directors special meeting on October the 6th, 2021. This meeting is being recorded. Start out with roll call. Ian Aaron Powell, I am present. Todd Riesler?
Present.
Guy Fawcetti?
Present.
The board has quorum and calling this meeting to order at 1901. I posted the meeting agenda late. Apologise for that. It's a very short agenda. There's two items of business on the agenda, which is to appoint our new board members and swear them in. And I will officially present the proposed 2022 budget to the board. I'm going to make a motion to approve the meeting agenda.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
And aye. As we're in a special interim meeting, we have no previous minutes to approve. There is no public present on this meeting. So I'm assuming no public statements or comments. Again, interim meetings, so no treasurer's report, no chief's report, and we have no old business we're going to discuss. So the first item on our agenda is to appoint two new board members to bring the board back up to its full capacity. So we have Jessica McKelvin and Tumplin. Pronouncing that right or wrong?
McElvain.
McElvain.
Yes.
Thank you.
With the Irish spelling.
Of course. And Russ Patterson, who were the only two remaining applicants in the process. So basically, they are welcomed to the board, effectively. I make the motion that we appoint Jessica McElvain and Russ Patterson to the board of the Netherlands Fire Protection District.
Could I actually ask before voting on that motion that Russ and Jessica just say a few words of why you want to be on the board? Because I haven't had a chance to meet you. It'd be great to hear what your thoughts are.
You go first or I'll go?
You can go first.
I was a volunteer with Netherlands Fire Protection District from, I'm not sure if it was 1999 or 2000, and then I retired, I think it was 2011. So I was in the department for a while. When I was a kid, 18, I was part of Hillendale Volunteer Fire Department. So I've got a long history of volunteering in fire departments. I saw a lot of good and some bad when I retired, and I made some effort to become involved then, but the staffing at that time, I just thought I was going to be butting my heads against the current chief, and I thought, you know, I'm getting ready to retire, so I'm done with butting heads if I can avoid it. And now, with some changes, it seems the district is pretty much set to make some real progress forward. And so if I could help with that, I'm happy to volunteer and lend anything I could to that process. Thank you.
And I don't have experience with firefighting, but I think I do offer an ability to bring a different perspective. I have a science background, and so oftentimes in science, the question is often why. And I think without that firefighting background, I can also bring a different perspective that might challenge some of the existing status quo, but it's always good to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? We've done this for 20 years. Okay, well, why? How are things different now? How can we do things differently? I do believe it's very important to volunteer within our community. It makes our community stronger, and especially being in such a smaller community with a lot of nonprofits who are always looking for volunteers, it can be hard to fill those positions. And if everyone kept saying, oh, someone else will do it, you know, there's got to be someone else. So that's why I think it's very important to keep the community strong, especially the fire department and the fire protection board district.
Cool.
You're retired?
I am, from the university. I was
Colorado?
University of Colorado, yeah. Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics, so another science person. And then I was a software manager at Xilinx for 14 years and other companies. So that was the part I didn't say. I've been a manager and staying in budgets and project schedules and things like that. So maybe I could lend some of that experience to the district's planning.
And then are you still working?
No, I back east before we moved out here, I was a biochemist in central research and development with DuPont. And did a career change and became a brewer and was brewing beer here. Yeah, everyone's so excited about that.
Well, the thing is, brewing is chemistry.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. It really is chemistry.
It's brewing. It's biochemistry. It's chemistry. It's biology. If you don't have happy yeast, you don't have good beer. It's
cleanliness is godliness.
Yep. It's fluid flow dynamics. It's so much amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was a brewer for a couple of years, but after having my second child, commuting an hour to work was just, it was rough. So I did a bit of a career change. Well, I came home to stay home and wrangle the children. My husband went back to work. And so I'm currently a stay-at-home mom as well as homeschool teacher. So,
And then part of the reason I'm wondering is, like, I'm just thinking of the makeup of the board, because I don't know, a while ago, it was community member, and the rest was all firefighters.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And it was you.
Yep.
Right. Okay. And then now it's changed pretty dramatically. I'm not a firefighter or anything, even like where you guys and stuff. And then I'm retired and stuff. And then the way that translates is sometimes I have more time to do stuff and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, these guys have real jobs, and so, you know, I have to be cognizant if I try to get hold of Ian at, you know, like 11 o'clock, it's like, I'm doing my real job. Is it really important that I have to break this or something like that? And so that's the reason why I was asking that, you know, as we interact as a board, you know, be cognizant of each other's, I'll say, personal situation, and try to be respectful of that.
That was a good question, though. I have to say, since you have joined, I feel like we have gotten a lot more done, to tell you the truth, and a lot more without having to lean on Ian, because Ian's the one that's been doing the lion's share of the work, and but he's been really helping out quite a bit.
Yeah, I retired from the university also, but it was the University of Iowa. And then I don't know, you'll get to know me, but I one of the members got me and. I can't remember what board meeting or something like that. It was one of our contentious meetings. And at some point, I go, cut the bullshit. Let's get to the real thing, because it was getting so contentious. And then, you know, we went on and then we got to it. It was rather contentious. And I didn't even think about it. And then one of the members got me and said, oh, yeah, cut the bullshit. And then I was like, yeah, I did say that. So.
Make this long. I know Russ from when I first joined. He was still active in the department. We've spoken a number of times over the last year and a half about things that have been going on in the department. So he's reasonably well briefed on what's going on. Has an idea of what the internal politics.
Well, I'm really curious, you know, myself, what we see over the next 6 months or so. And then especially, you know, you've been close to it and what you're doing it. You have, I'll say, a community perspective. I kind of got thrown into it, you know, right in the maelstrom is what I would say. And then, you know, you, if you have some of the history, you'd be able to look at that now and then what, you know, from to be able to build a community. And then just, you know, just to have that, you know, a fresh perspective to say, you know, what are you guys thinking?
I look forward to that. Jess and I met, Jess was referred to me by one of our members, Ken. And then we met at the farmer's market 2 months ago, or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. It was starting in Hawaii.
And I explained a lot of the what had been going on, where we were headed, what the aim of the board is now. You know, what the new goals are in our direction. She still wants to be part of the board, so I'm very pleased about that.
Yeah.
I think you will bring a different perspective. I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Some of the boards here have been very limited in their perspective. And no disrespect to them at all. I think they did a good job in maintaining the board side of things, but they may not have paid attention to the membership side of things. And your comment about, well, we've always done it this way for 20 years, was a repeating dialect that we had. And that's something we're definitely looking to change, actively changing at the moment.
Okay. Thank you. Motion.
Can I motion?
Yes, please.
So I will make the motion now to appoint to the board Jessica McAlvin and Russ Panton.
Second.
And I'd say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Is there supposed to be some fanfare?
Yeah. Welcome to the board. Almost. So as we are already in meeting.
Get it here.
Just need to make a note in minutes of the board approved by a majority to appoint the new members to the board. We'll just go through the swearing in process, which is pretty simple and straightforward. Sorry. So. Who wants to go first? That's a good question. Okay. Let's read the oath before you, please.
I, Russell Stanley Panton, do swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Colorado, and the laws of the State of Colorado, and will faithfully perform the duties of the Office of Director of the Nederland Fire Protection District, upon which I am about to enter, to the best of my ability.
All right. I, Jessica Lee McElvain, do affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Colorado, and the laws of the State of Colorado, and will faithfully perform the duties of the Office of Director of the Nederland Fire Protection District, upon which I am about to enter to the best of my ability.
Well, thank you both. Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
No, be glad.
Yay!
So, yes, I appreciate you both volunteering. There's not much else to say, really. This meeting really was just for this single purpose. But as new board members, the first thing I do is make a note in the minutes that Russ Panton and Jess McElvin, it's going to take me forever to get that right, sorry. Have now joined the board and are on, should be noted to be on the roll for the rest of this meeting. As you have just joined the board, the first exciting piece of business that you get to do is I will present to our treasurer the 2022 budget or proposed budget. I'll get you all a copy of that, and we will discuss that in the meeting on October 20th.
Will you put it out on our whatever share or something like that?
I can do that, yeah. I'll put it up on the portal. To read through it, see if you've got any comments. There's basically in the budget, there's the proposed 2022 budget, last year's budget, and the prior year's budget.
Oh, okay.
For reference, so you can see how we compare. Just have a read through, tell me if you'd like to make any changes. Me presenting it to the treasurer triggers a public comment. So I'll put out the public notice this week. Yeah, I'll get that out this week and get that into the Mountaineer. And then in November, we'll adopt the budget with any changes that have been made or any made in the public comments. And then in December, we have to send the budget to the district commissioners and to Dover to make sure that everybody knows what a budget is.
Who is the district commissioners? Just out of curiosity.
It's the county commissioners.
County commissioners.
So basically, we presented the Boulder County so they can collect some taxes for us.
Yeah. Okay.
And then to Dover to meet state law as a special district. That's all I have. There's no further action to be taken on that at this time. So there's going to be some future business. Still on our own. No public comment at this time. Any other business from
board? Just one. What's the rule on quorum or getting together as board members and stuff? Because we have to be public and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so if two of us can meet, but not three, is that what that is?
Sunlight law?
These Colorado Sunshine.
Sunshine.
We can all meet together, and we can talk about the fire department. We cannot talk about any public policy or make any decisions unless it is a public meeting. So the best way to do it is that if three or more of you want to get together, or three or more of us want to get together, we make it a public meeting. That's generally the way that works. And that just then prevents little cliques forming within the board and people making decisions that effectively are rubber stamped in another meeting. That is very much against the Colorado Sunshine Laws. In the information that I'm going to give both of you to, I'm going to give you the Special District Association's guide to being a Special District Director, and it explains all of the Sunshine Laws in there.
Just along that lines too, is that, for example, if the fire trailer is there and then all the board members want to show up like in support of the crew, we can do that and we can, you know, cheer them on and stuff, but we just can't start talking policy.
Can't start talking policy or make policy decisions.
Yes.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
Way too much debt. And if anybody wants to read Title 13 Special Districts Law, it's riveting. Great bedtime. Anything else?
I guess I want to bring up the selection process. I mentioned that in an email to you guys, and it might, since you guys are new, it might be good to just think about that or at least hear your comments. So we're in the process of looking for a new chief. I think kind of the way we decided to kind of break up the processes, Ian took the acting chief kind of lead stuff, and then I took working on looking for the permanent chief. In the process right now, I've been working with an HR firm. I sent a message to the board that we currently have four applicants right now submitted. Just to give an update, there was a question that if we have somebody submitting an application from outside of Colorado, we have a requirement that they have to be a certified EMT or something like that in Colorado.
They have to be a nationally registered EMT.
Yes, and so they had to be nationally registered, and then I gave them a grace period like we did for like their driver's license to get their Colorado certification there. But the point, I guess where I'm getting at is that in Ian's, or was it Charlie and Kyle's search process, what they talked about is how to involve the community. And so at least my thought is that I am representing the board by leading what I would say a recommendation committee. There is the HR representative, which is a non-voting member or something like that, there to kind of keep some representation. I've got a message out to Miranda Fisher. And she said she'd be willing to be involved in the process, and I've asked her to be a representative for what I would say town administration and stuff. And then I have at least two slots that one is a member representative and a career representative to try to, represent the various constituencies here. Howie, pick them. I don't know, my thought is that what we do is we kick it over to the various groups, either the careers or the members, and say, you pick one. And by the way, if you don't pick one, the board will pick one. So that might be enough of a threat that they will pick one to get some representation. I think somebody made a comment of trying to get somebody with solid fighter experience, because in all those people, they're all pretty much community members, and I'm a community member. I guess we do have the career folks in there too, but a chief or something like that, and then maybe a try to a call out to, you know, so maybe somebody to recommend that. The idea is, at least in my mind, the next couple of weeks we would try to form up that group, and then I think the ad closes the 24th or 25th of October, so the end of this month. I assume we would probably have a little bit of processing, but then fairly quickly they'll come back. At least I'm going to push them with a week, saying, what do we have? What are we going to go? And then start working that committee to bring people in. And depending on how many people we have, ideally we would maybe have three candidates that we would consider are vetted enough that we would bring in, and then kind of what I would say, bring around the community and then have them, you know, say what their vision is, and then have the ability for the community to give some input for that. So that's kind of like what my thought is. If you guys had, you know, other input or something like that, I'd be willing to, all ears if you want to be part of, and then just to finish it out, the recommendation committee would go through, would come, and then finally give a rank choice order recommendation to Ian as the president of the board. And then you would take that recommendation, and then we as a board would discuss that and then make a vote on the recommendations. So, and then what I mean by that is that as a group, theoretically, we could, you know, come up with a very skewed set of recommendations against the board. We don't like it and go a different way in that process. I hope we don't do that, but in some ways I'm trying to get some checks and balances. You're talking about little clicks. I don't think we're, you know, the way I'm setting up, I don't see how we can get that. But the final thing I want to stress is, from my standpoint, a clear, open process, many chances to communicate with the community is, I think, very important for us right now.
Do we have a published criteria for what we're looking for in the new team?
We do. We send you details of that. So we basically engaged our HR organization. They produced a brochure of the criteria we gave them. We also have a job description that the board created for the post, which that basically laid out all that very clear path of what we're looking for in the chief. Yes.
Would you be interested in the job description or the brochure?
All of them. Established on the fire department board. We hired our first paid firefighters. Mm-hmm. Just election process there. We went through that and we interviewed people that we scored them on various things. And we added up the scores, mm-hmm. and then we made offers to our first three choices, and we were lucky enough that they all accepted. Mm-hmm. So we got our best choices for that. So I was just curious, more than anything else, how the chief selection process would work. So whatever you can send me about that, I'm all ears. So I need to learn a lot about how we now want to do business. And so I don't have preconceived notions. I'm just going to be quiet while I'm learning. Mm-hmm. So the more you can tell me, the faster I learn.
So there is some very definite criteria that we must meet by law, by statute. I'll send you the details of that. So the basically once we've narrowed it down to three candidates, then any meetings that even whether the board's present or not, any meetings or interviews with those candidates are public meetings. Then we have to announce them and go through all the due process for that. I think the plan really is to allow a lot of input from the membership and the career staff, because obviously this is a very important choice for them, that we get the right person they can work with. But ultimately, the board employs the chief, so we have the final decision. So we would obviously have a meeting with probably the final three this year and ask any questions that we have of them from a board perspective, and then take into account the perspective of staff and membership as to what they wish, and then move forward from there. Just to let you know, we're a fairly rapid timeline. We advertise the post for 28 days. Generally speaking, in most job postings, 28 days is the time where applications tail off, usually. We also wish to seek a chief as soon as we can. It's very difficult running a fire department without a chief. We do have an acting chief currently, but he's also one of our shift officers. So he's just basically burning himself out. We'd like to stop that as soon as possible.
So a couple questions. One regarding the HR firm. Having been part of previous hiring committees where HR has handled the applications and sort of botched what we were looking for, how is your faith in the HR firm and completely understanding our needs and getting you a qualified set of candidates so we don't have to reopen the process if we get three, you know, if we look at the applicants, we're like, oh.
Just a couple comments. The HR person that I'm working with came from the University of Colorado. And then the reason I said it is that working in a university, I find they have to have a diversity of things going on. And then what I mean by that is that they've dealt with a lot of different jobs coming in, so understanding how to read resumes. That's one. The second one is, Russ, when you're talking about scoring candidates, if you guys are interested, what I did is I created a spreadsheet, and this is what I did. And in my mind, this is qualitative and quantitative viewing of a candidate. And then the first is what I would say quantitative. And then we have requirements and desire, required and desirables. Yeah. And in my mind, and the other board members were here when we were doing the job description, I was pretty adamant about if it is a requirement in my mind, that person has to have that requirement. They have to have it, because we said it's a requirement. And then, and where I was going with it, at some of the descriptions we were talking about have to have this, or maybe get it in 6 months. And it's like, oh no, that's not a requirement, that's a desirable in my mind. And then where I was going with it is that I did it in the first iteration, and I think we had, 15 requirements and 9 desired. And then I went to my HR firm and said, this is, when I've done this in the past, when I've got those numbers, that's wrong, because we're putting way too many requirements. And then we went back, and then now I think we're about 8 requirements and then 16 desirables and stuff. And then what we did is it was a little bit of a tweaks and stuff. We still want the desirables, mm-hmm. but we don't want it to say, if you don't have that one, you're gone.
Okay.
And stuff. Right. So, okay. And then ultimately to get to the core is what Ian was saying, what do we really want here as far as the certifications, the leadership skills, those things. And then where I kind of finish it out with the HR rep is I wanted to see some criteria that they would get to the quantitative measurements. But then once we get there, in my mind, we get to the qualitative measurements. What's their vision? How are they going to present themselves? How are they doing stuff in the department? And then at that point, we really got to get in there and then put them in the hot seat or something like that and interview them and stuff like that. And then that's where the committees come in, we come in and stuff like that. So is that a long answer to your questions of selection?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we because a very well qualified candidate missed like a key word or phrase, mm-hmm. that they don't get kicked out immediately from the rubric because they're like, nope, you didn't say goose, and they're like out the door.
I hope that's not the case. What I asked at some point is I wanted to read all the resumes just to be able to see that for a validation check. I kind of backed off on it just because of our rather aggressive timeline and talking to the person. They seem to understand what our requirements are. And then I think they had just worked on a fire chief selection for, what was it, Albany, California, right?
Because I think they did Burson recently as
well. Because, okay. Well, I remember Albany because they had the firefighter departments in California and they were standing next to their fire board or their surfboards, right? And I think the comment was we had to find what our equivalent was here and stuff. So, okay. So she has some experience with that. So I'm hoping that. Okay. And then the final thing I would say is I don't know if we have some sort of validation check or gut check or something like that. And then it's like if we know somebody has put their name in and then we heard through our organization that we think they're qualified and then they don't seem to come up to our process, you know, then I want to have something like that. It's like, hey, what about this person? You know, why did this person get disqualified? You know, so, but I don't know. We'll have to see how that is. Right now. Okay. I'm happy we got four candidates right now is what I got to say.
You happy with that?
When did the job post?
What was it? The 30th or the
last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the weeks are blurring into one.
Yeah. I don't know what your thoughts are. We did a lot of the postings are national or something like that in my mind. So like international firefighters. I can't remember all the groups and stuff. I posted it on Slack, but it was rather national. And then where I was going with it is that I had a comment from Barb Hart, if you know who she is, that we needed to post it in the Mountaineer. And I kind of nodded and said, yes, I just don't think we would get the diversity of people there. But, you know, in some ways, I if it's going to cost us $50 to post something in the Mountaineer, it doesn't seem like
I think it's just good for the community.
Yeah. So that was going to be my other question. Did you plan on posting it in the Mountaineer? Because I know the firing of the former chief was a very contentious issue.
Yeah.
And perhaps it may assuage the community for what we're looking for. Or it may inflame the divide more, but you never know. But I think it's better to release the information and then to be like, come back and again, do we have to repeat this because someone really says, I found, you know, subsection 3 that I don't feel that you notified the community in the primary community paper, and then we're like feet to fire.
The issue is that it doesn't seem like a classified ad to me, you know, a help wanted. So it seems a little bigger or something like that, you know, because Ian mentioned the brochure we put together, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. So without going into a lot of details, what I'll take as an action item to go to Barb and see what we can do fairly quickly and get something listed. What it may translate into is I got to spend some money. I can't spend money. So then
there you go.
I can spend money.
If we did, but if we need to do a public notice or something, in the
other well, I'm not. I could commit us, but then somebody else has got to.
Never.
Right? It's not. I'm not on the checking account.
The board can authorize you to spend money.
Basically. Yeah. So
in order to do that, once we know.
Yeah. So I'll work with Barb and then try to get something fairly quickly. Posted them out here.
Yeah, because if you want to hit next week's paper, it's Tuesday for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
By 10 p.m.
Yeah.
chasing me along.
I thought it was midnight.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, she's clearly making sure.
I got a couple things posted Tuesday at 9:30. So, but it wasn't for this.
I'm probably running up against that deadline.
He's a better communicator than I am, too, by the way.
Just for some background, CPS is. It's an HR organization that works in the public sector. So they've done a lot of work with other fire departments in terms of recruiting and in sort of local government recruiting. So they're kind of like, they've been here before. It's not like a sort of random HR group. we did, one of the criteria we picked them for was the fact that they had like
okay.
experience, so they understood this, and had also been through, been with the departments that have gone through all the same changes that we've gone through. But yeah, let's get that posted.
Okay, we'll make it this week, but next week. No, it'll probably be a bigger ad or something like that.
Quarter yeah. day.
I really do like the photo of everybody doing the net to net march that we put up. So, okay, and then you're going to send them the brochures and stuff.
I'll send out all the links to everything that's to the job posting. And I'll post the job description as well.
Okay. So no action on food.
Not on that mountain. If you want to deal with it,
talk
to Barbara about how.
Yeah, I got them on
there.
Yeah, and then I'll work on the selection process, and then what I'll do is I'll probably make a post on Slack about we have 4 candidates and start the selection process. What I've been trying to do is kind of do a weekly post on Slack where we're going, just so everybody knows what's going on. I held off this week just because I wanted to talk at this meeting about this. So I will do that.
Did we want to talk about that process then? Unless we need to decide if that's what we want to do. In regards to the screening process that Guy has suggested.
Sure. If you guys want to, I'm happy to talk about it.
I just had a question. You were saying in the process that there was one thing I didn't quite understand, and that was having some kind of review with the community.
Yeah, that was my question mark when I signed it, is that just to review kind of what I said a little earlier, is the idea is that the board has empowered me to represent the recommendation committee. I'm the chair of that recommendation committee. The HR person is a non-voting member. We have a member representative, a career representative, a town representative, and then there's some question, a previous chief or something like that, do that. And then the point where you're getting is that how do I get, or how do we get community representation? At least when I was writing it, we have the other smaller groups that we're trying to say in your smaller group, picking out an individual to represent that group's interest. And those groups are fairly vested. When we get to the community, I think, as you were kind of alluding to, because what we've been in before, we want to be broad reaching, but I think it'd be hard to find one individual that would represent, I would say, the diversity that we have in our community, to say it nicely, right? Yeah. So where I go with it is ultimately, maybe it's, we just have to be open. We got to communicate. We say, here are the candidates. Give everybody a chance to see them. Mm-hmm. And then when the recommendation comes back to the board, and Ian and us, then it's an open forum, because all these have to be an open forum. And then, like as Ian was saying in this, we said, well, now here's a chance for any of the community to talk. And then we use that as a chance. And then,
So usually you would do, like a meet and greet mm-hmm. of your top 2 candidates. Right. Obviously, at the moment, that's super difficult. Because it's very good. So the way that we're going to have to do this is just make every meeting a public meeting, make sure it's posted, make sure that we've announced it on Facebook and about to hear on our website.
Right.
So that people have the opportunity, if they wish to attend the meeting and ask questions, they can do that.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
How much lead time do you think we need to give the community? And what I mean by that is that we don't, if say, for example, we get 50 people applying, we don't necessarily want to tell everybody the 50 people applying just from, I'll say, personnel reasons because of that.
We only have to reveal the top 3.
Yes. So then down at the top 3, at that point, we say, here's our top 3, and in one day they're going to be here, or in 1 week, in 2 weeks.
I'd kind of like to make it, do it like it's a week.
Okay. A week.
So it doesn't look like we're rushing it.
Yeah.
Legally, 24 hours.
Okay.
But
a week sounds good to me.
Because we'll know the dates. We'll have
yeah.
But I would say that if at least a short CV for each candidate could be posted in a personal statement to allow the community to review, And in general, you're either going to get, you know, the people who look at it and are like, oh, I really like this person. You're either going to get the ones they really like or the ones they really are like, don't like for whatever reason that they see. So, and, you know, and everyone else who feels mad will likely not comment. But yeah, no, I think it should give the notice. Don't make it look like we're rushing and be as open as we possibly can.
And let me just kind of run back through the process now as I think I understand it. Okay. So we have the recommendation committee, which it sounds great, which you put together minus the community member.
Right.
Okay. And then we have four candidates now, but we're needing three. Or
it'll be three, whatever it comes
down to three. If there's three good
candidates. Once you get to three candidates, then everything goes on the record.
Okay.
It becomes a public forum.
Okay.
When you're above three, you can talk to the candidates privately.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily make any deals with them, but you can explain to them what the job offer is, give them a very clear explanation of what the expectations are.
Okay.
But like I said, once you've got to your last three, then it's all out in the open.
Okay, and so then that would start the public interview process with the board. And you mentioned one other thing in here, Gita, was like providing a ranked choice to Ian.
Yeah, so
I was thinking maybe not so much that.
Okay,
that's just because it's like the recommendation committee kind of telling the board this is what we'd like, whereas the board needs to make the decision.
I agree with you on that. Part of the reason, just a counterpoint on it, is okay, what's the output of the recommendation committee? Then if the board's making the decision and then they're interviewing everybody, but we're not getting any input.
Well, I see it as like a screening process. We're taking, let's say we had eight candidates, it has to be run down to three.
But they won't see they'll only see the three, unless you want me to kick it back to them and then be part of the deeper group.
I think the point is maybe it would be better to, you'll have your ranked choice of the three that you present to the board, mm-hmm. but keep that ranked choice. Don't present that ranked choice as in not to poison the board. Yeah. Because if you say, you know, Bob is our number one, Susie's two, Joe's three, that could poison the board in the sense that we already are like, okay, Bob's number one. And we might see something in Bob that might knock him down. And then we could have have those same categories with the metrics, and then we would score within those metrics, like, you know, and then we would almost come up with our own ranked choice, and we would see how it compares to the recommendation committees, and then discuss concerns possibly across that. If there's any significant differences,
I agree with you, and then I would add another point that I was concerned with on the ranked choice wording is if we gave a ranked choice, say 1, 2, 3, and then one comes in and we can't successfully negotiate with that person, right? For whatever reason, they want more money or they want whatever, right? And then we decide to go to two, and then they know that they weren't our first choice. Then how does that make them feel? So, right? Because it's a public meeting, right? Because they're going to hear all that.
Right.
So, and then just as a counter to that, and then see what you guys think of this, is rather the recommendation committee comes with, I don't know, plus deltas or strengths and weaknesses or something like that. I don't necessarily want to say weaknesses, but here are the advantages of this candidate or something like that. This is what we think this candidate would bring to the board, type of thing, if you want to try to keep it positive and stuff. And then that would allow the board to say, well, that's what they saw, or we saw this stuff.
Almost like a plus minus and interesting points, maybe without minus, maybe concerns or some other phrasing other than minus to not have that negative connotation.
Chris, what do you think?
I'm a number guy. So when we did it before, we had the criteria and we scored people on the various criteria, and that's how we ranked people. And that was our best attempt at objectively, you know, coming up with it's something that's inherently a subjective process. But I'm okay with that because eventually it comes down to making a choice based on some objective facts, which is calling the quantitative things. This person has the requirements. And then what set of desirements does this applicant have?
Just the one I struggle with is, you know, we have a big thing about, I don't say leadership or mentoring and things like that. And that one's hard to quantify, at least, you know, like, do they have, you know, in some ways when you hear it, you kind of know it and stuff, but it's not like, you know, it's like, oh, check mark. They went to fire leadership one training. Well, yeah, they went through the, you know, they got the little check mark there, but then when they get in front of the group of people, they can't, it's just the articulate a vision, they don't connect with the community, that type of thing. You know? So, and maybe you could put a number on that in that type of thing.
Yeah, I was a hiring manager a long time, so okay. I did. It's like we do behavioral interviewing. It's like ask a person, given a scenario, how would you deal with that?
Yeah,
you know, walk us through how you do it. And there's no right or wrong answer to something like that. For me, I wanted to see how people think on their feet, because especially for Fireground, that's important.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mentoring thing, you know, what in your past, if you had somebody that wasn't working out, how'd you deal with that situation?
Yeah.
And just let them talk about it. And I think you could infer some of their human management skills from answers to those questions.
And I also think it's key not to reduce it to just a check mark or no check mark.
Right.
It's going to have to be a scale of like 1 to 5, and then we can put it in a web diagram, and we'll be able to, you know, overlay the different candidates based on the scoring and see where they fall. And, you know, that's also a very handy visual, where it's like, if all of a sudden you see a candidate consistently scores across the board with and by across the board, like with everyone, that they're very low in one diagram or in one attribute, you'd be like, okay, maybe this is a little concern. How critical is this attribute to us? Can we work and build upon it? And if everyone's getting that same impression, you're starting to head into a more scientific, statistically significant study.
So if I hear what you're saying, you're talking about what is the recommendation. Do you think, okay, so one gets down to 3 candidates out of 4. Today we got 4 potentials. But 2, you know, you were talking about the requirements and the preferreds. If the recommendation committee could provide to the board the assessment of what requirements are met by this candidate, what preferreds are met by this candidate, so that we can easily see, as you're pointing out, and you're pointing out, kind of a scoring in a way for the candidates. How well do they meet the requirements? Would that be something that they could recommend?
Yeah, I would do that. I would hand that to the board very easily. I've got a spreadsheet that would fit that.
Yeah.
And I think that would fit your quantitative analysis.
Yeah, when you said spreadsheets, I thought that would be a good way. And it's like, you're right, not a check mark or something like that, but a scale. 1 to 10, 1 to 5, something like that.
Yeah, that's the way this thing is set up, 1 to 5. Power rating.
Yeah.
And then what I did is I did a ranked choice power rating of various candidates, because I had some things were, you know, more important to me than others. And that would basically give me some sort of score for myself. But I can send that to you guys too.
That's awesome.
And then what I would say is, I don't know, in some ways when I've had that, and some people have gotten a hold of it later, they don't necessarily like how people have assessed their skills, you know, like that.
Then that's concerning about the person within itself.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like how someone assessed your skills, rather than looking at it as an opportunity to build and improve, that could be something where it's like, on your feet, here's your ranked choice. What would you say to the fact that we scored you well on this?
Yeah, and then just what I would say is, hopefully in the process we're putting, there's going to be enough eyes on this, that it's not skewed by one individual or something like that. So that, you know, I think you were saying that, hey, everybody goes along and then looks like we got six people and everybody scored this one thing really low.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay. If one person did it, maybe that's an outlier, right. But you know, if everybody's doing that, then I think it's a little more apparent, especially if the person's saying, no, I'm here. And everybody else is saying, no, you're here.
Right. And especially where even if you get 50% of the people, then it's a good discussion. Be like, what are you seeing that I'm not?
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying, like, with the criteria, if we had a blank criteria sheet rather than in the pre-filled ranking numbers, that doesn't necessarily put in preconceived notions of what we should be scoring a candidate.
How about I take this as two action items? I'll work with Barb and get communication out. I'll kind of flesh out what I sent Ian and Todd, you know, kind of like with an outline and stuff like that, and then get a little more meat to it. And then I'll send it out to the rest of you guys when I know your emails and stuff, and things like that. So I'm assuming you'll send out and get stuff going, and then probably you'll get something from me probably this week.
Yeah.
So
excellent.
I'll get all the contact details out to you tomorrow or tonight.
Just something about my contact details. If you look at if my cell phone number is included in contact details, it's a 302 area code. It's Delaware. I'm too lazy to change it. So don't let that throw you. It's legit. So,
it's 319 and it's Iowa.
So
I'm too lazy to change it.
The 302 really throws people
off. I don't think it matters anymore. It's
no. I just take it as that's where you first get your cell phone.
Yeah. But it definitely 302 versus the 303 really throws people. They're like, did I write this right? It's like, yes, it's a
302. Oh, because it's so close to 303.
Yeah, they just assume I wrote it wrong.
Yeah. And just as we're talking about this and flushing this out, if we do need to do another meeting, we just have a quick meeting to discuss all of this, let me know and I'll post it and can do one. It's no problem. Well, that we had a number of meetings to get things right, and rush up against the deadline and suddenly be trying to fix things. Just give me 1 second, so the stuff going on that I've managed to get involved in.
Are you on call tonight?
Yeah.
I was going to say, at least from active 911, I think we may be losing it. Because everybody else is out, right? Because they're out on or somebody's out and stuck on Hesse.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I didn't hear about that.
I was waiting for everybody to come in. All of a sudden, like I don't know, 40 minutes before the meeting, all of a sudden, oh, somebody lost on Hesse, no ambulance access or something like that.
No.
I was like, we talked about, oh boy, that's so now you're charging up to try to find somebody and get them down.
Those are phone calls. You get to hike around at night and it's snow.
You and I have a very different opinion about fun. I'm going to tell you.
I can only imagine if you hear this branch snap behind you and you're like, well, I'm not top of the food chain out here.
No. I've got a story about that. I'm not going to do it in a public meeting. Okay. Did we flesh that out?
Yeah. I think so. I'm going to come back and send some more information. This was good information for me. I just want to do this because we need to get it. I want to get it going and I want to have it decided when we actually get to the point of closing it. And
yes.
So we know exactly what we're doing.
Super.
Oh, a very quick question about the chief. Do they have to live within the fire protection district?
No. So at the moment, the qualification is within a 60-minute drive.
Okay, much like
the district. So they're basically let's just extend out to kind of Golden and South Denver.
Where housing might be available and affordable.
Where housing might be
available. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So much like they do with chief jobs.
So we did look at that in quite some detail.
Okay.
Because obviously it's not cheap. Okay. And also the way the department runs, just for more your reference, there's always a shift officer who's on duty. So they would normally take the call anyway, first of all.
Okay.
And they are more than capable of running that call for the whole call, or at least the first 60 minutes.
Okay.
Until the chief comes to help them.
You haven't seen the firehouse because they actually have, four pump rooms or something like that?
Yeah, we'll do the top.
Okay. Yeah, so they sleep here.
Okay.
So.
Well, Charlie lives here. As far as I can tell, because he's here every time I walk in the door. Okay. Anything else to get into this meeting?
Wi-Fi's password for the city? Is that what you're asking? That's a joke. Meeting to adjourn or motion to adjourn?
I would second your motion to adjourn.
And then vote yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Back to five again.
Full board.
That makes me happy.
That's good.
So I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 19:56. Stop sharing that.
You got to think like a firefighter.
Yep. Just subtract the 12.